Holly Springs Baptist Church. And I appreciate God for touching his daughter this morning. She just come a running. And she rooted right in them altar among them shavings. And my mind went back to that night when Brother Scott and his family, when them boys was little, they rooted right there in that same place. Got help for their life. Hey, there's help around here if you want it. You can get it tonight. But he's God's man for this hour. Brother Scott, you come around. He'll preach for us. You listen to him. You help him. Amen. He'll preach better and you'll get more out of it. I love you.
Amen. I would be remiss if I did not thank the Lord for this place and the blessing this place has been, not just in my life, but in the life of my family. I'd ask you to pray that the Lord would take and touch us and use us tonight. I'd ask you to pray for my wife. She's had a long week. She was nervous on Tuesday when my son was preaching here for the first time, nervous that he would have something to say. She's nervous tonight because of what I might say. So you pray for her tonight. If you have your Bibles tonight, take and open with me to the Word of God, to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'll ask you to stand, not just to reverence the reading of the Word of God, but to rest yourself somewhat. The Word of God reads here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord for our God for us, that we will save us. He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, and Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word tonight. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this question: Are you where you can see him and hear him? They are three distinct places in this text tonight that I want to magnify briefly tonight. And everyone here, from left to right, front to back, everyone here, you are in one of these three places tonight. There is a place of silence where God is not speaking and saying anything. There is a place of seeing where the Lord reveals himself. And then there is a place of speaking, where God, in an unmistakable, loud, clear, pointed voice, has something to say. May the Holy Ghost tonight help us to see where we are. May the Holy Ghost tonight help us to see if we're not where we need to be, that we might get to where we need to get. And I want to tell you tonight, this place today already has been a mesma spot where we've seen the Lord. This place today has already been an Ebenezer spot where we've heard from the Lord. But tonight's another service. And oh my, I pray you and I might get to that place that we might see and hear the Lord, that the Lord would direct our hearts. You and I cannot do anything to cause it to be so, but we can meet the conditions so that it will be so in our hearts and in our lives. I want to say something right quick tonight about this place of silence. That's where Israel has been for well over 20 years now, for a long time. They've been without a word of God being heralded forth. No doubt Samuel has been to some pockets. No doubt Samuel has been to some homes where a few of God's youngins have gathered together. But as far as God's man declaring, "Thus saith the Lord," to the entire nation, that's not taking place. God has been silent. In fact, back in the third chapter, the chapter begins that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was rare. There was no open vision. There was no prophetic word. There was no "thus saith the Lord." God was silent. And the people were in a place of silence. Oh my. Now, the ark has returned when we come to chapter 7. I've not got time to deal with all that tonight. The ark has returned and the ark is nearby. But they weren't playing horseshoes, and nearby doesn't count when it comes to God. And you just don't need to be nearby God tonight. No, you need to scrooch all the way up to it that you might see him and hear him tonight. It's been a long time. And Samuel has been hidden away. In fact, from chapter 4 to chapter 3, it's not just that the ark is absent. The man of God is absent. I want to tell you tonight, you'll find yourself, you'll find your family in a world of hurt when the presence of God and the man of God is absent from your place, absent from your life. But that's where Israel was in this chapter. There the ark represents the presence of God. The ark represents the power of God. And Samuel the prophet, the man of God, represents the mouthpiece of God. Oh my, God has sent something far greater than a physical famine of bread. It's a far more desperate situation than bellies being extended and there being no bread. No. There's become a famine of the word of God even before the days of Amos. There is this place of silence. Now you may say tonight, "Well, now wait a minute, preacher, you're wrong. God is always speaking. We can always hear him." Well, why don't you talk to Abraham? After the stunt with Hagar, there are 13 silent years where God doesn't say anything, where God doesn't reaffirm the promise, where God doesn't speak and herald forth, reminding them of the promise. Oh, for those years, God is silent. Now, don't you know Abraham kept offering sacrifices? Don't you know Abraham kept praying? But God was silent. They were in a place of silence. And I want to tell you the truth is tonight, that's really where our nation is at tonight. That's where a host of churches are at tonight. That's where a lot of homes are at tonight. And I want to get more personal tonight. If you're here and you're lost, especially, that's where you're at tonight. It's amazing to me that something almost identical yet totally different is said about the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and Samuel. Something almost identical, yet at the same time totally different. For it tells us in chapter 2 of this book of the sons of Eli, they knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. But it tells us in the 3rd chapter that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And there's no debate. There's no debate. Don't edit the Bible. There's no debate on why Hophni and Phinehas had not heard, did not know the Lord. It tells us in that last phrase of chapter 3, verse 7, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I want to tell you, Hophni, Phinehas, and Samuel found themselves in a place of silence. And I'm here to tell you the only reason there's a difference, that the grace of God came to Samuel. The grace of God, God began to speak. God drew Samuel to a place of seeing and a place of hearing. Oh, my tonight. I pray that if you're here in a place of silence, I pray if you're here tonight, oh my, you might beg God, God, get me to the place I can see you. God, get me to the place I can hear you tonight. In grace, God goes to speaking to Samuel. In grace, God calls Samuel. And in grace, Samuel sees God. And in grace, Samuel hears God, oh my. But what does that look like right quick? What does that look like right quick that God in grace reveals and draws and brings Samuel to a place of seeing and then finally to a place of speaking, a place of hearing? Well, it first of all involves preaching. Preaching. You say, well, who in the world preached to Samuel, preacher? The good Holy Ghost himself preached to Samuel. The good Holy Ghost called unto Samuel. In fact, if you ever get to a place of seeing, if you ever come to a place of salvation, it'll be because the good Holy Ghost comes and goes to speaking. Because it's not in the pool, as the man of God said this morning, and it's sure not in the preacher, but it sure enough is in God himself. But if we ever leave silence and come to a place of seeing and beyond that hearing and God speaking, it takes the preaching of the Word of God. Now, here finally in chapter 7, that's exactly what Samuel now does. Samuel came preaching. Samuel came speaking, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel. That's exactly what he was doing back in chapter 4. But in chapter 4, they rejected the preached word of God, and they rejected the preacher. They go together. You cannot reject the message and then not reject the preacher, the messenger. You don't reject the messenger and not reject the message. They go together, and in chapter 4, they reject the message. They reject the messenger, and God goes silent. Defeat comes. The army is defeated. And the ark of God is captured. God writes Ichabod over the whole outfit. The glory has departed. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if you and I ever get to a place of seeing, it will take the preaching of the Word of God. It'll take God's Word being declared, thus saith the Lord. And when there's no thus saith the Lord in the pulpit, God will grow silent and will be silent. I mean, Canaanite, he speaks through this Word. You say, well, preacher, if I could just hear God speak, why, you already have tonight. I read the Word of God. Hey, you want to hear God speak? Go back to the room tonight and open up the book and read to yourself. I'm going to say to you tonight, if you ever get from a place of silence to a place of seeing, it'll take the preaching of the Word of God. But right quick, it not only involves preaching, it involves, in verse 3, it involves putting away. The man of God says, clean house. The man of God says, clean up. The man of God says, put away. Just like Jacob does when he says to his family, put away those strange idols, oh my, that are among you. Because you see, you can't be focused on an idol. You can't be seeing an idol and seeing God at the same time. You can't be focused on an idol and be focused on God at the same time. As old brother B.B. Caldwell used to say, idols come from ideas. And I'm here to tell you tonight, any idea that takes precedence over God is an idol. And any issue that takes precedence over God is an idol as well. Any idea, any issue, you give more credence to, you're more devoted to that issue, you're more devoted to that idea than you are God. You've got your eyes on God, you're not seeing the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this evening, there's no idol, there's no issue that's worth not seeing the Lord. Amen. It takes preaching. It takes putting away. It takes putting the idols away. And the truth is, Hophni and Phinehas and even Eli have become idol worshipers. They're worshiping self. In fact, we know that when news comes that the ark's been taken, we know that Eli, when he hears the word that his sons are dead and the ark has been taken, he falls back and breaks his neck because he's old and fat. Now the Holy Ghost and the King James wants to be adequate and proper and nice. He was heavy, but the truth is he was fat. And he's fat. He's heavy because he's been seeking to please his flesh. The priest was given a special portion of the breast and the shoulder, but that wasn't enough for Eli. Eli would send his sons out, and they would take a three-pronged fork, and they would dip down in, and they'd take more sacrifices, more for themselves. Eli lived for self, and oh my, as a result of that, he became an idol worshiper, and Eli got where Eli didn't see God, and Eli didn't hear from God. It was Samuel that heard from God back over there in chapter 2 and 3. Oh my, I'm saying there must be putting away. I'm talking about repentance. And I've got news for you tonight. Repentance is more than just being sorry. Repentance is more than just having regrets. We read in the text that finally, after 20 years, not for 20 years, but after 20 years, it says that Israel lamented, they wailed. They lamented after the Lord. Oh, they had regrets. But the man of God says you need to get past regrets. You need to repent. You need to put things away. Hear me tonight. If you're not hearing from God in your life, in your soul, you might just need to clean up tonight.
Amen.
Oh, man. I'm talking about going from a place of silence to a place of seeing. It takes preaching. It takes putting. It takes putting away. Right quick in verse 3, it takes preparing. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. That word preparing literally means to make ready. To make your heart ready to see the Lord. What do you ladies do when you know somebody special is coming to see you, coming to your house? Or what do you do when you know you're going to see someone special? You go to making some preparations. You go to getting ready. How much more then should you and I prepare hearts and make ourselves ready when we pray to come to meet the Lord and to hear from heaven?
Amen.
So I won't put up that much effort. You'll stay in silence. You'll stay in silence. I don't care who's doing the preaching. I don't care who's doing the singing. You make no preparation. You refuse to prepare your heart. You refuse to make yourself ready to obey Him and serve Him. In fact, that's the real key.
Amen.
That's the real key. You've made preparation. Your preparation is complete when you are committed to obeying and you're committed to serving even before you see Him and even before He says a thing unto you.
Amen.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, if I was Alistair Begg, my professor at school, I'd quote that deep theologian Bob Dylan right here. You got to serve somebody. And the truth is, you are serving somebody. Eli started out serving the Lord, but along the way, Eli got to serve himself, and God went silent. He was in a place of silence. In fact, Hophni and Phinehas never served the Lord, and they never saw the Lord or heard from the Lord. And they grew up around the ark, and they grew up around the tabernacle, and they died and went to hell. I can't prove this. Dr. Bagel's further up the road than I am, but I just have to believe hell's hotter on Phinehas and Hophni than it is on others because of the privileges they squandered and what they turned away from. I'm talking about tonight leaving a place of silence, getting to a place of seeing. It takes preaching. It takes putting away. It takes preparation. In verse 5, it takes prayer. They begin to call on God. They begin to ask the man of God to call on God. And Brother Tom preached on that the other morning, so that's saving my preaching right there. If you've not heard from God in a while, how long has it been since He heard from you?
Amen.
The best place to see Him from is from your knees.
Amen.
Why in the world did Samuel see God so much? Why in the world did Samuel hear God so much? Samuel says, "Oh my God, forbid I cease to pray and to pray for you." Right quick. In verse 6, there's another part of getting to this place of silence to see. It's a pouring out. And I done made a mess, but I need another bottle of water. There's a pouring out of water. Samuel says, gather them together. Gather them together. And they drew water. And the man of God pours it out unto the Lord. And I want you to know, he just doesn't give a little dab. No. He doesn't go 50-50. I preach to folks week after week. That's about where they're at. They're about 50-50. Half the time they hear God, half the time they see God, half the time they sit there in silence. I want to tell you, they drew that water, and water was precious. Water was precious in those days. They just didn't run to spigot. They just didn't have somebody hand them a bottle of water. No, that water was precious, but God, seeing God, hearing from God, was more precious than anything, more precious than the water. And the man of God takes the water, and the man of God pours out the water. The man of God pours out every drop of water. Now, I know no doubt what some critics no doubt said. What a waste. What a waste and what a mess. In fact, you may be sitting here tonight and you may say, well, Lord God, that preacher's done made a mess of the altar and he's done made a mess of the pulpit, pouring all that out. What a waste. And that no doubt is why your life is a mess. You need to get the altar as a mess. You need to get the altar wet, oh my, with some tears, oh my, and get a vision of God and hear from God, or your life can stay a mess. I'm saying you tonight, listen, this is a principle. This is a principle. There's no pouring forth of the power of God without a pouring out of our hearts unto the Lord. You want to say it this way? There's no filling without emptying. Amen. I'm talking about getting to a place of seeing. It takes this pouring. It takes this pouring. Pouring out. In fact, it is fitting. It is fitting that Samuel is the man that does this. Because Samuel got here. Samuel came into this world because of his mama. His mama had prayed and prayed and prayed. But oh my, she went down to the house of God that day and decided, I'm going to pour everything. I'm going to pour everything out on the Lord. And God heard, and she got Samuel as a result of it. Amen. It's fitting that this man pours out the water, that this man pours it all out. I'm here to say tonight, if you're sick and tired of living in silence at the house and at the house of God, you might ought to go back and check up where you chunk the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Where you begin to cling to some things in your life that have blocked your vision of God. Where you've neglected to prepare your heart for God. Where you've neglected to pour everything out from God. I want to tell you, it's 2023. But this is God's principle from eternity. In this place for 60 years, there's been preaching and there's been praying and there's been praising, but it all the way go here right it is in the book of 1 Samuel. I want to tell you, they get to a place where they see God, they're about to hear God because of the preaching and the praying and the praising of God. For you see, heaven and night, where you go in part from silence to seeing. Weep your way there. Amen. Weep your way there through prayer and repentance. Amen. And it's good to see God. Oh, just one glimpse of his face is worth it all. Hallelujah. I got that. I believe every bit of that. But I want to tell you, you don't need to stay just at the place of seeing. You need to move beyond that to a place of hearing him. And the way to get to a place of seeing is through prayer and repentance. But the way to get to a place of speaking, God speaking, is through worship and is through prayer. You say, well, where's that at, preacher? Well, it's in verse 9. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. So what in the world is Samuel doing, preacher? He's worshiping. You can't worship without a sacrifice. It takes a sacrifice to worship. That's Isaac knew more than Baptist. Isaac knew that they needed a sacrifice in order to worship on my. And the way to get to a place of God speaking and you're hearing God is through worship. I tell you what they're doing right here in verse 9 and 10. Samuel there has slit the throat of that sucking lamb. And why in the world does the Holy Ghost mention sucking lamb? Why didn't he just say lamb? He wants us to know how innocent, how pure this lamb is. And oh my, he slits the throat. The blood is poured out. That altar, that lamb rather is made, laid on that altar, set on fire, burned up, consumed. Oh my, he's worshiping, thanking God that what has taken place to that lamb ought to have been on him, should have been on him, but he's worshiping God. And the book says, as, that's just two little letters, that's a little big word, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder. So, preacher, where's that speaking part at? Well, it's right there in that phrase. A great thunder. It's the word coal. 385 times in our Bible is translated voice. The first time it's translated voice is in Genesis 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord. 10 times it's translated thunder. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you that, oh my, they've submitted now. They've submitted now to the preaching of the Word of God. They've begun to clean house. They've put out. They've dealt with what they need to deal with. They've made preparation. They've made prayer. They've cried out to God. They poured it all out on the Lord. And now they're worshiping. Now they're selling. Now they're gathered together around the Lamb. And oh my, you go together together around the Lamb. God Almighty will show up and thunder. And thunder, and thunder. In fact, it says in chapter 3, they heard that voice again, and they began to look for a voice. Sounds like that voice must have been pretty big. In fact, John heard a voice and went to looking for it. It thundered and was the voice of many waters. You want to see God? You want to hear God? You want to get to that place of seeing? You want to get to that place of hearing God speaking? There's some principles of grace in this chapter. I said it's after 20 years that they go. They don't weep and pray for 20 years. I'll tell you, it doesn't take 20 verses just as I am for you to see God if you really, really, really want to see God tonight. In chapter 4. They are pursued. But in this chapter, they do the pursuing. In chapter 4, they are cities and their homes that are captured and taken away. But in these latter verses of the chapter, all those cities that had been captured were restored. Some of you have lost some things tonight. In your home, in your heart, in your worship. Oh my, tonight. You can see those things restored and brought back. If you get to place of seeing. If you get to place of hearing. And just in case I never hear this way again, I want to tell the devil and anybody that operates on his side, I've done seen too much and I've done heard too much. Turn back now. I want to tell you right in this spot this morning, my daughter saw God. We heard. I've done seen. I've done heard too much. I want to stay at Mesbah. I want to stay at Ebenezer. That's the message, preacher.